I am Sean Saving, and you are listening to the Heartland Labor Forum on 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio, an innovative program that is teaching young people the principles of environmental science while training them to work in the growing environmental field. The program, the Environmental Connection Opportunities for Students, or ECOS, is a project of GreenWorks in Kansas City. Now in its second year, the after-school program began in August 2007 as a pilot program at De La Salle's Cobetz High School. De La Salle's Cobetz High School is an alternative school serving approximately 250 youth with education, rehabilitation, and support services, management, on-site daycare, and in-school employability programs. In addition to the environmental education students receive in the program, they also get valuable real-world experience through internships. To talk about this exciting program and the impact it's having on the city's youth, we have several guests joining us tonight. Kate Corwin is the founder and president of GreenWorks in Kansas City. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean.
And Jaira Hill is a recent graduate, actually, and still, I guess, a participant in the program. Jaira, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We also have several board members with us. You can please introduce yourself. We've got Rusty Smith.
Rusty? Right here. Thanks. Glad to be here.
It's Rusty. Marcus Rivas.
Good evening. Thanks for having us.
And Erica Bryce.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you for having us.
All right. So, Kate, I want to start with you. So can you tell us about GreenWorks and what does it do?
Well, GreenWorks is a nonprofit that basically was founded on the principle of environmental justice. And that basically just means that all people have a right to a clean, healthy, safe environment and to benefit from the opportunities. We work to get urban youth involved in the movement, along with increasing their awareness of job possibilities and increasing their contacts with community members who are working in the field. Our program called ECOS is an after-school program. It's 30 weeks of experiential curriculum, which means we work really hard to do lots of hands-on projects, service learning, and get the kids out of the classroom on field trips. Throughout the program, the students meet over 25 individuals who are working in the field, and these are people all the way from PhD environmental scientists to water quality technicians, LEED certified architects, waste management technicians, urban farmers, and landscaping professionals. We have three objectives for the program. The first one is to increase the students' science literacy. The second is to change their behavior towards the environment so that they hopefully start recycling, things like that, and providing students with a chance to experience environmental employment through paid summer internships. This summer, we'll be placing students at Habitat Restore, the Discovery Center, and with Parks and Rec Tree Nursery. Right now, we serve 12 to 15 students, and we're currently piloting the program at De La Salle.
So it's 12 to 15 this year, and how about that many last year? Is that
mm-hmm. right? We had 14 last year, huh?
So, yeah, I've looked over this curriculum, and this is just not a vocational program, and this is really an applied environmental science mm-hmm. type of program.
Right.
These students come out with a foundation in environmental science and a job, which I think is rather unique, particularly at the high school level. So where did you get this idea?
Where did this come from?
Yeah, where did this come from?
Well, actually, the idea that I had for combining environmental education with workforce development evolved from my work with community development. I had worked with organizations that were attempting to rebuild urban neighborhoods through bricks and mortar, rehabbing houses, building houses. And I began studying a different theory, and it's a theory that involves investing in the residents first and helping them increase their skills and education so that they, in turn, can increase their earning potential, which then makes them a force for rebuilding their neighborhood because they're now able to afford a home, afford the maintenance on a home, and the upkeep on a home. So they become the force for rebuilding the neighborhood. So at the same time that I was studying that theory, I was becoming increasingly concerned, as I think we all are, about environmental degradation. And I was learning a lot about the growth of green jobs. I did some research on other programs around the country. I was able to find some organizations and programming that did environmental education, but it was mostly for younger students. And then I was able to find job programs that were actually job training, but they didn't have the education component. And I decided that I really thought you needed both. We needed to do the education to help the students understand why what they would be doing was so important. So that's really where I got the idea. Our mission flows directly from that. It's basically to get the urban youth involved in the movement, help them understand that they can make a difference, that they can have a good job that can support a family and pay for a home and feel good about what they're doing. So that's really our basic mission. And then also helping them to, if they choose to go into the field, to make the type of employment and educational context that they need to get started.
Well, Jira, yeah, let's talk about that. You were in the program last year, mm-hmm. and now you said you were assisting teaching last year. This year, you're actually helping teach some of the coursework. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And what are the kind of things that you've learned from the program?
From the program, I learned different things. In the ECOS class, I learned about the wastewater treatment plants and the process of getting the water fresh for people to drink. I learned that there is only 3% fresh water and 97% salt water. I also learned that about different things about our rain gardens, how they benefit our environment, because when it rains and the runoff water from our parking lots and buildings can run off into our rain garden. That way, while the water absorbs into the soil, the rain gardens are making the water clean and fresh as well. I learned about the point source pollution. Polluted water is already that we know where it comes from. I also learned about the non-point source pollution. It's water that we really don't know where it comes from. And I learned about waste watersheds. It's like basically an area drained by a river or a stream, basically a drainage area. I also rode on a boat down the Missouri River for 2 hours. We talked about how people transported goods and services. And I've seen a truck, had a truck been there for since like probably about 30 years right for now. And we also went to the water treatment plant, where the fresh water are already there. We also went to go pick seeds in the woods over there by Walmart, the old Walmart on Bannister Road. And then we did a whole bunch of different field trips about pertaining water.
I mean, you sound like this is, I have a degree in environmental studies, and I mean, we didn't learn this stuff in college. And you're learning this now in high school about watersheds, pollution, non-point source, point source pollution. This is pretty valuable stuff. I mean, so how do you think, I mean, I guess actually what we didn't talk about, this is what I asked you about, is then you learned all this, and then you went and got a job, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they set you up with an internship, so where did you work?
I worked at the Discovery Center. Last summer I started off as an internship. I did about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks probably. I guess they liked my work that I performed there. We did different stuff working with the class of needs and seeds and in the aquarium class. We did needs and seeds project. I just was assisting. I was more like helping with the materials and helping the kids if they needed help. But this year I also teach. I teach for this internship. This is my second internship. I teach the classes of the needs and seeds. I work with different people. Sometimes I work with Shay, and sometimes it'll be Wendy. I work with six or seven different people. When I first started out, I had to observe about 3 people to see how they work, and then I had to turn it my way and then make it my own way, so make it work for me. And now I'm more comfortable with the kids, because it started out as first I really didn't do good with kids. That was my weakness, working with different kids a day, 100 different kids and their different attitudes. But now I'm getting comfortable with it, and it's more relaxing for me.
So how has this sort of changed your perception of what you thought your possibilities were going to be when you got older? I mean, how has this program changed what you think is possible for you to do?
I first was going to start off as a journalist because I was in this English 30 class at Penn Valley, and we did a lot of writing, and I liked it because of how I'd conversate a lot. I could give good conversation. Then it changed from that to being a teacher. And then now, since I've been at the Discovery Center, it changed from psychiatrist to being an environmentalist educationist. And so I like working with that because it's not more of the money. Because if you do a job for more of the money and you're not interested in it, you'll lack in it. See, I do it more of my interest and kind of to keep the money figure out. And so since I'm interested in it, I think I could work with kids. Since I do work with 100 and something different kids every day, I'm kind of bearing with their attitudes and stuff.
Well,
they can work for me.
I can tell you, if you're going to be in the environmental field, yeah, you can't worry about the money. I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, and we are talking with Kate Corwin, the founder of Greenworks in Kansas City, and our recent graduate of the program, Jira Hill, who you just heard. And we also have with us the board members Marcus Rivas, Erica Bryce, and Rusty Smith. Now I want to turn to the board members here. Mr. Rivas, so you are a local environmental engineer, and you've been involved with several community organizations. What made you get involved with Greenworks?
Yeah, thanks. I think it's very important to be able to work with youth, and having done it for many years now, just realizing that they really are some of the greatest assets that the city has, and it's an underperforming asset because we don't allow it. to move and to grow. And I think one of the things that I think GreenWorks does very well is it empowers the energy that the young people have and helps that move into environmental excellence. And it's really a way of just making sure that we're investing in our future for a sustainable future, that we know that we can have a lifestyle and means of living that is going to allow us to continue on this planet. And so we need people like Jaira who have really demonstrated that they can exceed in this.
I mean, that's been one of the drawbacks of the environmental movement, is it's sort of forgotten about a whole segment of the society. I mean, it doesn't really address our cities that well, our urban core.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big challenges, is if you sit down and take a look at something even as simple as the recycling rate, that the lowest recycling rates in the entire area are always going to be in the urban core. And we just need to sit down and find out, okay, the environment's just as important to people in the urban core as it's someone who's living out in the suburbs or even in the rural areas. You just need to give them the opportunity to express, hey, these are going to be how the issues are more relevant. Like in the inner city, asthma is a much more critical issue than it would be in the suburban or even the rural areas.
Erica, Bryce, you're shaking your head there. So let's get you in on this conversation. What appeals to you about this program?
The first thing I heard about GreenWorks is it was dedicated towards environmental justice, and that's always been a big issue for me. I came from an environment where I didn't really have to worry too much about that. I came out from the suburbs. But it's always been an issue to me how children in these underserved areas always have asthma, eczema, other allergies, and that it's disproportionately affecting them. So I'm a big believer in health. The other thing that really interested me in GreenWorks is because I'm a commercial real estate lender, so there's a big push for green buildings in my industry right now, and there's a lot of green jobs as well. And when I saw Kate bringing together youth, and especially youth that are in your areas that are underserved, as well as creating an economy or trying to generate jobs and economic development, I thought it was the perfect match, and it was something that really needed to happen. It was just bringing those issues together for synergies.
Right, and it seems that, that environmental issues always cost. I mean, things cost a little bit more if you're going to be green. Let's just simplify it. But you can't expect folks who don't have good paying jobs or any job at all. How are they going to participate in sort of doing the environmental thing when you can't even get a job to pay the little extra amount of money you gotta have to buy to worry about where your food's coming from. Or, the other things, is going to cost us money. Climate change, addressing climate change is going to cost us money. We've got to get people employed in decent jobs.
But I think for me, what I see, and actually I went to a breakfast this morning with NAOP about this, and the developer that was speaking brought up the point. He was like, there is a business case to be made for environmentalism. People in urban areas a lot of the times, especially when you're talking about African Americans, we've done green things. We just didn't know that's what we were doing. We were doing things out of survival. When your grandmother had a garden, things like that.
Recycling.
Exactly.
Used stuff,
using things over and over and over again. But like I said, there's definitely a business case to be made for these things. It's just somebody putting in the effort towards it.
Yeah, I think another thing to take a look at is that if you sit down and actually do an economic analysis of the environmental improvements that have been made, it actually matches right along with economic development. In the absence of environmental structure, you actually really have a collapse of the economy. And it's not just the economy. I think you need to look at three things, all of them together. You need to look at how well the planet is doing. You certainly need to look and make sure that someone's making a profit. And you also need to make sure that the people's quality of life is improving. All three of those can and do move together. And I think that's one of the things that's been happening in the last 1 or 2 years, is that people are actually, as a group, not just as individuals, starting to say, hey, there is not necessarily this thing called the economy and this thing called the environment that are in opposition to one another, that's a trade-off. No, the reality is they need to move together. And I would suggest that you don't have to pay extra to be green. Yes, you can, certainly. just like you can pay extra for a Cadillac or you can pay extra for a Lexus. But you can also be green on a budget. And that's one of the cool things that I think we were talking before the show about green cleaners and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. That you can do those things. You don't have to run out and buy the yuppie $16 bottle of cleaner. You can make it for literally pennies.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. The stuff your grandparents used to use was probably pretty environmentally safe. It was basic, very simple ingredients. Yeah, I want to talk about this. You were to the issue of the economy and the environment, and this is where I think example of this green impact zone that Congressman Cleaver has proposed and is now in development for the inner city here. I think it's 39th Street down to, is it 51st from Troost over to Paseo. Is that the zone? Right. And so
Prospect.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. Rusty Smith is the director of wholesale power trading and marketing and operations at KCP&L. So you probably know a little bit about energy conservation and this plan. So, you know, one of the key plans is to develop key elements of the plan is to develop the workforce within the green impact zone. Now, a lot of this work, like weatherization, a lot of electric grid upgrades, this is pretty highly skilled labor. So how does GreenWorks and what you guys are doing at this level fit into maybe what might be coming down the pike here with this program?
Right. It actually fits very nicely. We are right now working on moving our ECOS program to the Brush Creek Community Center. And that is going to help us support the kids and the young people in the green zone. We are also pursuing additional funding to start having some community programs as well to begin getting the education out to the people who live in the neighborhood. The Brush Creek Community Center will have solar power and will go through a weatherization process as well. So that the students will be able to witness that in their environment as they're learning in the ECOS program. They're also going to see that when they go back to their homes in the green zone through the weatherization going on there. You know, our role in this process is really to try to get young people thinking about the potential of a green career or environmental career. And what that does is it basically primes a pipeline or a workforce for a green workforce to go into either continued green education through Emanuel's center or through working through the city or with utilities like KCP&L or even potentially green entrepreneurs.
Have the unions, have any of the unions approached you guys about find, you know, as a, have you talked with any of the unions locally about as a source of apprentices for the trades or any of these kind of things? Has there been any cooperation there?
We haven't done that yet. No, it's a good idea, but you know, we haven't.
So you guys are about to conclude, you know, your second year. So you've included, you know, Rusty, you mentioned you're going to be moving into the Brush Creek Community Center. So this will be out of it. So you won't, you know, no longer be an after school program at De La Salle. You'll now be. Is this a better location? It's still be an after school program? Is this a bigger location, a little more resources? And
yeah, a real good computer lab. It'll be exciting to be, again, like Rusty said, helping people actually in the green impact zone and being in a building that's going to be retrofitted for the solar panels and the weatherization. It'll be a great learning experience. And plus, it's right on Brush Creek, which is a good environment and not far from the Discovery Center, and we use that facility quite a bit too.
And is the do you expect, how many students you expect to have in the program?
I think next year we'll probably still have about 15. Yeah, I think it'll be 12 to 15. We'll just simply move the single program over there.
And how do students apply, or do you recruit people? How do students, if somebody wants to be involved in this?
The way we've done it at De La Salle is they actually applied for this, for the program, and we worked with the science teacher to interview the kids and make sure that they were a good fit for that. When we move to Brush Creek, I anticipate that we'll be working with community organizations in those particular areas like Blue Hills, Front Porch Alliance, Ivanhoe Neighborhood Council, and we can also recruit directly from students coming to the community center as well. So.
And what age are we talking about?
We're talking really 15 to 19.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular needs for the coming year? You want to put out there to the listening public?
Absolutely.
Is it a checkbook they need to open up?
Yes. Well, we have not been able to expand our program. We would like to. We'd like to serve more students, and we haven't been able to do that yet because of my remarkable timing for starting a nonprofit at the beginning of a recession. So that being said, we've got some good opportunities that we want to pursue. So funding is really just our biggest challenge. We've got a lot of great in-kind donations that we've been given, and we have great volunteer support, but we still have to pay the teachers, the bus transportation for the materials, that kind of a thing. So that's our biggest challenge right now. So,
well, we've got just a couple of minutes left, and Jared, I want to go back to you because I want to find out, like, what do the other students, I mean, how do students, other students, your friends and stuff, think about this stuff? I mean, is this kind of weird at first, and are they coming around, or are you seeing, you know, I mean, there's only been like maybe 30 of you now that have done this. I don't know how it's going to take to sort of change people's mindsets, but what do you think? How's that?
I think a lot of people, they look at it differently than what I do. They like Greenworks. When they hear Greenworks and that I'm in the green program, they think it's like, oh, bugs, or think you got to do with a lot of different things with the environmental, like environment with animals and stuff too. They don't so much look at it as me working in different spots. Like anybody, they can work at Habitat Restore. They don't look at it as working in different spots like the Discovery Center or the Nature's their nature's place. They don't look at it like that. They look at stuff as looking like you a nerd or something like that. And I really don't look at it like that. I look at it as stepping outside your comfort zone. Because me, this really wasn't on my mind like a year ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really looking forward to doing none of this. Before I came to De La Salle, I really wasn't interested in none of this. I was littering. I wasn't recycling. I wasn't into none of this. None of this wasn't a big benefit to me. Now that I see all the benefits of it, and I see what this can really do and how to benefit the next generation, and I really feel that this, I look into this now. And so I kind of talk to my friends and tell them what the program is about and describe it in detail, you know, give them a better understanding of what the program is and not them looking at it as the inside. I want them looking at it how I look at it. So I explain the whole thing to them and tell them everything how it is. And now I see some of them kind of changing it, and I got a lot of them to join the class. If some dropped out or some still continue to go on with the class, I talked to a lot of them about joining it because I explained to them we go on field trips. It's a lot of hands-on type of thing for older kids. I mean, it's a lot of, and it's easy to understand. It's not like it's confusing or it's not self-explanatory.
Well, it's got to be more fun than regular school, right?
Right. It's way more fun. You do different things. You step outside your comfort zone. Just like last summer when I was in internship, worms, that's not my thing. I don't touch worms. And I thought walking in the woods, everything was poison ivy. Now I learned different type of flowers and plants, so I don't think everything is poison ivy. And I know the worms are harmless.
That's right. Worms are good for us. Well, okay, we are out of time. I want to make sure that folks can find out more about Greenworks and where can they go.
Our website is greenworkskc.org, and they can sign the Contact Us form if they are interested in volunteering. We take donations, and there's a Greater Kansas City Community Foundation link on there as well.
Okay, great. I want to thank our guests tonight, Kate Corwin, founder and president of Greenworks in Kansas City, Jaira Hill, you're going to be a graduate now, I guess you could say, of the program. Our board members, Marcus Rivas, Erica Bryce, and Rusty Smith. To find out more about Greenworks, check out their website at greenworkskc.org. I am Sean Saving, and you are listening to the Heartland Labor Forum on 90.1 FM Kansas City Community Radio.